We'd like to begin with a question that comes from John Aiken, the second group in California. And it reads, how important is astrology as a tool for self-awareness?
Well, this is difficult to answer. Because on the one hand, used by some people, it is of no use at all. And used by other people, it is of tremendous value. There is nothing intrinsic in astrology itself that will or will not help an aspirant on their way to deeper understanding. It is simply always must go back to who is it that is doing the studying and what is the motive for your understanding of it. But then again, I will have to say that here we will speak of levels, and I will keep ask you all now to keep very aware that there will be level shifts as we go through this discussion. Astrology and things like numerology and so on, all of those so-called occult sciences, when you are beginning to understand that man is not simply what you have thought him to be all of your life, when you start to move into the questing period of, well, maybe other influences are at work rather than just man's mind and emotions, one of the things that you're very likely to run into at that level is astrology. And if you are a very good student of it, and if you have reference to good textual material, you will be able to soon be aware that it is true that certain things are predictable as far as from the natal chart all the way through to the death of the entity. And when you take your mind into that realm and you see that such a prediction is possible, well, this does tend to shake you. This does tend to give you a new view of man. It expands the view of man and what he is. You see what I'm saying? It moves them into a greater realm of understanding that says, I see man is not just a small little entity moving across at some random pattern, that perhaps there is some kind of influence that comes in from the outside and then is something that he can use as a guidepost, some kind of an external help that is helpful. And this external help being the power and the movement that comes from the vast heavenly bodies and so forth. So used in this way, it can be an awakener. It can take the doubting intellect and push it to its limits and say, this you must accept. It's stated in this chart that was given so many years ago that on such a time, at such a place, there would be a death. And lo and behold, this has been accomplished. It states that there will be so many marriages and so many children, and behold, this is what has come to pass. So on. All of these things can then be looked at and seem to be not in a state of random understanding, which most people tend to think. All right, so on that level, if it is used for awakening, I think it is extremely exciting and worthwhile. The place where difficulty arises is that in itself, all of that is illusory. In this way, what you are talking about that is being influenced is the activities of the lower mind, the activities of the ego, of the personality self. It is that you are really making reference to. Do you understand?
Yes.
That those vaster bodies and their energies feed into, in order to have a certain kind of mundane life on the earth plane and go through certain steps into different experiences. Now, I said before and I will say again, I do not care what kind of lifestyle you have programmed through your manipulations and your decisions to enter the earth plane. I do not care what kind of mundane activity you carry on earth. I care absolutely what type of awareness you carry into each one of those experiences. If you stop there, where most astrologers do stop, and just simply see that the ego is the total, instead of seeing that the ego and all of this influence is simply minor and minute and perhaps not even terribly important, then you will find yourself in a limited position. You will be, in the colloquial of the day, you will be stuck. You will have reached a certain level of awareness, and then you will remain at that level and there will be difficulty. You will find yourself much pleased with your own ability to know other people's futures and so on. So I say again, if you are viewing yourself as a separate entity with a certain life to live, and if you feel that that is important, then astrology can be a helpful tool to help you into greater understanding of your own personality. On the other hand, if you have believed anyone who has said to you, all of that is illusory and unimportant, what is really important is to get in touch with the vaster part of your being and allow it to be that which guides you rather than the manifestations on the paper of the astrologer, then you are moving into a different realm. So the question has to arise, what is the motive? And the motive will change. Understand that someone who moves into astrology and is just getting aware of other energies being influenced the earth plane, they stand to learn a great deal. But they must then keep aware of what their motive is. Then what are they using it for? Are they using it for a way to buffet themselves from life? Are they using it then to say, well, today my chart says thus and so, and I will go along with thus and so in order to keep me out of certain difficulties and so on? Well, if you want to do that, that's fine. I have no complaint to that. But this is a fear syndrome. This is meaning that there is something out there that is frightening. There is something then in your chart that is so frightening that it is against you. And therefore, it's something that you have to worry about. And the problem is, when you have all of these predictions, and I'm not really in favor of future predictions of any kind, one being that at any time, if you choose, you have the power within yourself to transcend and transmute those energies, and you don't have to go that route. That's one point, and therefore they are false in that sense. And the second is they do create a great deal of fear in the entities, and this is something I'm not in favor of. It's future fears. I think there are many enough fears in the present moment. We don't have to stretch ourselves into the future and pull them in that says this event is going to transpire in so many years and it will be a problem area. I don't feel that these things are helpful. I don't think it's helpful to tell a young couple just about to enter into matrimony that their relationship is going to end in divorce.
Right.
I see no value in that. I see absolutely no value in that, because no matter how subtle they might be, how much they might not want to listen to that, on some level that is recorded. On some level they are aware of this. And so instead of being able to enter joyfully and totally and completely into the experience of their present moment, they are always have this fringe anxiety moving through it, which will cause them a great deal more anxiety as they move through their daily round. And I'm not in favor of this kind of thing. I think, if I might be frank with you, I think life should be lived spontaneously each day, each moment with the spontaneity of what is the correct and maximum movement in this exactly this moment of time, without concern with what will happen in the future. I do not like predictions in this sense, because I feel that they limit. I feel that someone goes to a psychic and the psychic says you will be married. Well, this person then, instead of taking the joy and the strength and the courage and the growth of what is happening in their single life, is always waiting for that moment at a later time. You see, all of these things set up unconscious periphery type of responses. And it is simply because you live in fear. You don't want to let life teach you as it comes. You want to have some kind of predicted outcome that you can somehow point to. And even if it's abysmal, somehow it seems to please you rather than to live in the spontaneous now. So how can you use astrology for your greater awareness? Well, my friends, most of the astrology charts that I have come into awareness of do not really have any transforming tools available in them. And as you well know, I feel that no one is going to move out of the illusion of mind unless they have a tool, some kind of what I would call a gimmick, a tool to move them out of it. And if you have come into an astrologer who somehow has access to the proper gimmick that would be most helpful for your realization and cutting through the mind and the fog that is created thereby, then by all means I would say that you have stumbled onto a maximum astrologer. And by all means, if on using his technique that he prescribes out of your chart, you find within a few days that you are uplifted and expanded and feel very correct about it, then I would say by all means that has been a helpful device and great honor. However, if you do not have such access to such a tool, then you must ask yourself, what am I bothering with astrology for? What is it about? And am I hanging on to something that I no longer need to hang on to? It's very much like the realm of reading books. You can read and read and read. If you come across someone who instantly speaks to you, and you see and feel and know that therein is truth that you can identify with and want to participate in, for example, your experience with the Maharshi, with Ramana Maharshi, I do not suggest then that you read 100 other people's books and occasionally return to the Maharshi. I would say, read what gives you the most substance for your growth and stick with it as much as you can. Because once you get yourself in a certain groove, you will find that this is more helpful than going from thing to thing to thing. You see, all of this. This is why I say again and again, find your niche and go with it until you die. And of course, the trick to that is that you won't have to go until you die if you're really doing it wholeheartedly. You will come into greater areas of awareness much sooner than that. But it's this wholeheartedness that is required. And as you also know, I say again and again, no one walks the earth plane who is in the slightest bit interested in the things that we are discussing who doesn't have a technique up their sleeve somewhere that they have used. And if they want to get closer contact with it, then this is the goal that they must keep centered in their mind. Show me my way. Show me my technique, and it will come. It will come to you. It will either come through a book or through a person or through an awareness or through a dream, or somehow you will bump into the technique, and when you try it for a few days and it begins to build in your life, then you will know that you have struck something of the deepest importance to you. And that is the time when I would ask you to bite into it and hang on to it and never give it up until you die. Because this is the necessary equipment. So we're speaking on different levels. If I'm speaking from the maximum, I would say astrology has very little meaning as far as the vast, huge, incredible, eternal self is concerned. The self that we are seeking is not limited by such energies, is a part of, but totally surrounds and inundates and transcends any such energies. It is true, if you're asking about the validity of astrology, I would say, by all means, it has its validity. Before you take birth in a physical body, you select which bands of energy you wish to work with. Now, the trouble about charts and astrology charts and any of them is how are they interpreted, and there is such a degree of error possible based on incomplete mathematical formulae and certainly inadequate understanding of the planets and what they do and the powers that they represent and so forth. There's a great deal of fog, and so it is a tributary that leads away from the main source, and sometimes it is extremely helpful, and one must just continually assess. If one feels very captured by astrology, then I would say follow it. But do not follow it to such an extent that it becomes the end-all and be-all of your day, unless you are a very beginning student of the divine, and then by all means follow it until your heart tells you that you have gotten what you needed out of it. And you can then progress on to something else. If you're asking, is it a high science? No, it is not a high occult science by any means. It is helpful at a certain stage for certain people. To other people, it never will be, never has been, never could be. It's a very individual and private thing. It is a tool, just as all other things are simply tools. Does it meet a need in you? Then follow it. Keeping aware and open and attuned to the highest that it has to offer. But at the end, it is like all these other things. It is like dreams, it is like numerology, it is like the psychic, it is like the occult. All of these things must be dropped. They must be. Did you want to say? It is simply a necessary awareness that you must hold, that it is part of the illusion. But before you do incarnate, you make these decisions. Which of these bands of energy do I wish to work with? Oftentimes, what is not shown in the chart is those things that you have taken care of completely and then do not need to work with this time. And if you get an astrologer who doesn't know this, then you are indeed led to see yourself in a very warped point of view. For example, someone that comes in who is not at all intellectual, who is a very much of a feeling person, would come in. An astrologer who would look at this, who is himself a very intellectual person, and who feels that the intellect is the highest form of understanding, will then translate that chart in a very difficult and not very enlightened way. He might not know that in the lifetime previous, this person had absolutely been with, dealt with, and achieved a high degree of intellect, and had seen that it was not the way, and wanted to spend a whole lifetime developing a part of its nature that had not been developed in the previous incarnation. These are very tricky, you see. And again, I say, it depends so much on who is doing the interpreting. Just as there are some psychics that aren't worth a hoot, and others that are worth a great deal, it just depends on you, on how well you listen, on how much you believe, and what you are willing to accept about yourself. Are there any other questions?
Yes, on this subject, it has been said that the stars impel, they do not compel.
Yes, well, this of course is true. Nothing, understand, nothing compels. It is you who choose over and over and over again. And the sign of a truly enlightened one is one whose chart makes absolutely no sense to anyone who looks upon it. You see, it just would make no sense at all. You see, an enlightened one goes ahead and carries out their daily round, and the charts would say that they would not travel much, that they would stay in a very mundane area, that they would not move into this or that or the other, that they would not have all these different houses filled with any kind of compulsion and so on. Whereas actually that person may be the enlightened one who sits quietly at the base of a hill and simply allows all things to happen and could not care less what happens in their daily round. You see, it depends on what you believe. If you believe that all of that movement through your day is who you are, then you have to attach a great deal of importance to it. If, on the other hand, you realize that that is a game that you have decided to play out, a drama that you have willingly selected to play, but that you are not that person, that you are something far vaster, and that is what you wish to attune yourself with, and then observe the drama, then where is the pain? Where is the sorrow? Where is the anxiety? Where is the feeling of need and loss? Where then is it when you know yourself to be the all? Then of what importance are these smaller things? It simply goes back to what do you believe about yourself? What have you allowed yourself to accept about who you are? The trouble with astrology is it limits you. It limits you to a pace. It limits you to certain houses, to certain functions. And none of that is what you are. None of that is what you are. So, by all means, jump in. Immerse yourself in astrology if it sees your being. But always be aware, every moment of the day, that thou art not that. That thou art not that. Have never been an equivalent of that. That is simply the drama. And you stand and observe this moment. That is something quite different. It is almost like you would do an astrology chart for Hamlet because he was born at a certain time. Do you understand? And then somehow we would then believe that Hamlet is true, is a real entity who moves through all this anxiety and so forth. Or is it just the creation of a Shakespearean mind? Is Shakespeare then Hamlet? Or is it something who has created Hamlet and watches as Hamlet goes through his motions? Which do you identify?
I have another question on that topic. When a person selects to incarnate, I would take it that advice would be available in terms of certain particulars, what race would one incarnate in, where, and who would the other people be that would be in that family, and who would be the fellow travelers as one goes through. Some of this would take the appearance of a chart, I would guess, so there are certain types of things within a life that are selected in advance and may or may not be acted through, and that could be picked up through astrology. But would it also be the case that, as you say, you speak in different octaves or different levels, that there are various octaves to what is possible in that life? Given that grid, that framework, well, you're going to be born here, you know, you're going to have this profession, you're going to marry these people, that there are levels of expectation for your growth in awareness that, and of course, at the very, you know, at the very highest, it is hoped that you will come free. If level A is not achieved, well, then B is hoped for. And if B is not achieved, well, C is hoped for. And all of this could take place within that framework.
Exactly. For example, let us take the question of marriage and divorce, which is something that often shows up on charts. Maybe not as marriage, but certainly as a deep, intense, and ongoing relationship, which most times on the earth plane is interpreted as a marriage situation. All right? Now, someone sees that they are going to have two marriages in their lifetime. Their first feeling is one of fear. This then means that there will be a divorce. Now, divorce means, or a death, but usually you can tell whether it's divorce or death if the chart is well done. So let's say that it's going to be a divorce. All right, now the person then has a certain idea of what that is all about. That means that there's going to be strife and resistance and resentment and a parting of the ways and anxiety and so forth. In actuality, many people enter into the world knowing full well that maximum is to enter into one marriage relationship, go through it at the highest possible with care and love and support and mutuality, and then when they both observe that their ways are going in separate directions and now something different is needful, at maximum they can part as great and abiding friends and move without any sense of regret, remorse, failure, guilt, anxiety into different frames of life and move on. That is maximum. But most people do not look at it that way. They look at it as a necessary evil, something that they must thrash their way through, something that is going to be difficult and negative, and something that they should have at all costs have avoided. My friend, many divorces are absolutely imperative because the job has been done, because the necessary work together has been accomplished, and the maximum now is a parting of the ways and something new has to take form in their life. But because people are so limited and so absolutely terrified of being alone, they have programmed the human necessity to always continue on and to never witness divorce of any kind of separation in the marriage life. And this is, if I may say, nonsense. It is not a hallmark of any great achievement to have been married for 50, 60, 70, 80 years. That is not the achievement. The achievement is, what is the quality of those years? What freedom have you allowed each other? How much have you come to really understand about relationships? How many do you love as a result of the fact that you have been together with one person those years? What is the net result? What have you learned? That is the achievement. And many people who are very arrogant about this, they feel that because they have achieved a certain number of years in a married state, there is something superior about them. This is maybe not the case at all. It could be that they have had a very negative relationship, or perhaps if they had had the courage to be alone, they could have learned something more. You see, who is to say These are preconceived ideas. And this is the trouble with looking at charts, because when it says divorce, this immediately brings forth an idea of a negative state. And you see, this is not the case. Many, many separations come, and they are the things that should come. They are beautiful, wonderful, uplifting, and if looked at in the right way, they free each other, they part in love and friendship. They are still friends on a deep level that can go to each other and succor and help and uplift. And yet they have said, we see that our intenseness is no longer necessary. The necessary things have come from it, and we must move on. You see?
So you could deal with that portion of the chart on a level of love and understanding. You could deal on it on a level of, well, at least we're not going to be enemies, and we will be neutral about it. Or you could deal with it with the acrimony and bitterness that you normally
precisely
see.
Precisely.
And you still have the same event on the chart.
This is precisely what has to be understood. And so if you trap yourself, if your mind is not free to allow differences, if you are not free to see that an event has a multiplicity of possible interpretations, you are going to respond out of fear. And I go back again, my friend, because the basic response of people is fear. They hang on one to another because they are afraid of being alone. Many, many people stay in relationships, not because the relationships are fulfilling and rewarding and uplifting, but because they are terrified of being alone. And the truth is, many, many people would benefit by being alone. They would learn something about who they are. They would learn about themselves in a deeply intimate way that being in relationship does not allow. I do not look on loneliness as a negative experience on the earth plane. I do not. It is sometimes the only thing that will awaken and quicken someone into a higher degree of understanding. But if the mind says that if your body is alone, that somehow you are unhappy, then this will be the need that you run out to find someone to keep their body with your body, so therefore you will not be alone. But if people are looking very carefully, they are alone. If you look carefully, you are alone. It is a phenomenon we discussed before. Because of the inability to commune, you see, your bodies do not really communicate with each other. And if people refuse to move to the highest octave and communicate with the divine energy, they're going to feel alone. And every time they open their eyes, they see the separateness of things. And therefore they feel lonely. And so people must be honest. And so when you look at the chart, you must say, all right, if you want to look at what your fears are, then look at your chart. And say, all right, here it is. I see I am terrified of this. Oh, well, instead of worrying about the event, I would suggest that you use that experience to deal with your terror. I think that is a maximum use of that, is to say, oh, I see that it's projected that this is going to happen. And as I sit here, you know, 15 years earlier, that terrifies me. I am terrified by that. And use that terror right now to move into understanding and to clear yourself of that terror. And then when the event comes, what is there to fear? What is there to fear? The one thing you know about all of you is that you're going to die. This you know. And there's nothing wrong with taking that death into your awareness now. Because eventually you must face it. And people who say, I am not afraid of death, are usually people who have not really faced it. They simply have put it away as a future event. People are afraid of death. Unless you are free, you are afraid of death. And if you do not face it early, then you must face it at the time of your death. All of these things, when you gaze at a chart, to be pinpoints of awareness of what is it you fear. What is it that you are pushing against? What is it that you do not want? What in this chart is that which you simply do not want to accept? And then do not look at the event as the important thing. Look at the emotion around it. And use that as the focus of how you can begin to transcend. You don't have to transcend the events, my friend. You have to transcend the emotional impact of those events. So how then will you use it? Use it maximum. You can free yourself so that any event, the free man, my friend, is one who knows that it does not matter what event comes down the road, They accept all events with the same equanimity because they know something. They know that that event is not themselves. They know something bigger than the event itself. They know that the event has no power over them unless they succumb to the negative emotions surrounding that event. So, if you want to live in freedom, then you must put aside fear. And you cannot put aside fear as long as you've conditioned yourself to believe that something outside can threaten you. When you believe that, then you will live a life of fear. Because then poverty can take you, or divorce can take you, or the death of children can take you, or illness can take you. How many evils there are then out in the world that can take you, take away your equilibrium and your peace? That is fear. It has many types. So just be aware that man believes himself separate. He believes himself to be able to be hurt, to be terrified, to be inundated, to be destroyed. He believes he is capable of death. And that is the grand belief. You are not capable of dying. That is the one thing you cannot be. And anyone looking at an astrologer's life will see that there is death. Death of your own self and death of those that you care about. Use it, take it, incorporate it. As a chart that shows you what you fear. And then go to the deepest level and say, I do not think that the divine wisdom created me to live a life of fear. And then go about the process of freeing yourself from the only thing that you really need to free yourself from, which is the feeling of fear. And you fear because you are afraid that you are able to be destroyed.
Thank you, Bartholomew. Next, we have some questions from Dr. John Aiken in Socorro. You have stated on several occasions that the date of our transition from the earth plane is fixed and that there is nothing that we can do about it. On another occasion, you said that one should be grateful to the skilled surgeon who prolongs one's life and so allows more time for the quest of freedom. Would you clarify?
All right. I will begin by making a statement. It is a statement I have made before, and I will make again. Nothing that I say is true. I repeat, nothing that I say is true. If you would wish to see my idea of what I am able to put into words on the earth plane for you, it would be as if you had taken the head of a pin, held it in your hand, and let it reflect the universe. And then looking in this tiny pin, saying in the slight reflection that you see there, that is truth. That is truth. There is no way that I can continue to discuss topics on a vast variety of subjects with a vast variety of people and their own understanding and their own needs, and ever give you any kind of clarity of what is truth. Words do not contain truth. Words state things in dualistic form. There is no such thing. We are talking about non-entities. We are talking about nothing. So, on one level, those of you who look through the data and find things in conflict, you are using your intellect. And go right ahead, but it will not free you. If I could say nothing and simply be in a state of beingness and be able to reach you, this would be what I would consider of maximum benefit to you. But since most people are not interested in meditation and sitting quietly, but are only interested in listening and talking about things, then I will use the techniques that you have given and do our best. There will always be misunderstanding as long as you use the intellect to try and answer the question. All right, now, let us answer this question. What is one for example? I say it again. The time of your ending your life on the earth plane has been decided. There is nothing that you can do about it. That is a fact. What is also a fact is you can do nothing, but there are those exceptions that come along where certain events are, if you would put it this way, fixed for you so that your life may be prolonged. You have no control about that. And really, what is the good of telling anyone about this? You see, my question is always, what is the value of telling anyone this? What is it something they can do nothing about? But nevertheless, I have been asked on occasion, is this the case? Has this person been, in a sense, taken out and certain definite changes made in their life totally without their control and even their knowledge of what was to come? And the answer is yes. These events do happen. And therefore, I must answer. If I'm going to answer any questions, I have to answer all of the questions. And that is the question that I have to answer. Yes, there are occasions when the plan that you have projected out, for some reason or other, having nothing to do with your conscious mind, is taken up and different changes are made in it. I am not going to discuss the kinds of people under what circumstances, because they are infinite. They are varied. There is no way to put a finger on who they are and what happened. The answer is, both are true. From your point of view, it is true that there is nothing that you can do about it. Therefore, it is a statement of fact. As the Maharshi says, every movement of your personality has been, he goes even so far as to say, every movement of your personality has been ordained. Therefore, give no thought to it. All right, now, the second question is, if this is so, then what did I mean when I said that one should give thought a thanks to the surgeon who prolongs your life? If you have been the kind of a person who knew that the mind creates illness, if you were a person who knew that mind changes, extends all things, you would not need a surgeon to save your life. And the chances are, if you found yourself in a physical extremity, you would be able, as some people on the earth plane are able to do, to cure and heal yourself instantly. By righting the mind, the body would then right itself. But so few people believe that, that in order to have you be cured of an illness that you need perhaps to undergo because of certain needs within your understanding, then a surgeon must appear in your life. And he appears in your life and he saves you. He appears to have extended your life. From your perception, he has extended your life. From my perception, there was no life to extend. From my perception, all of this is unimportant. All of this has very little to do with freedom. But since this is where you are, this is what you want, this is what you need, then I would say to anyone who is in a situation where others are helping them, be grateful to them. It appears that he has extended your life. That is exactly how it appears to you. If you look at your chart, let us say, and we look at the doctor's chart, there comes a time when you have impinged your energies one on the other, and some kind of an interchange has taken place, and it appears that his wisdom, understanding, discipline has saved you. And I say to you, be grateful for it. If you believe that medical help saves you, then this is how it's going to appear to you. If you ask me how it appears to me, I would simply say that so you have written it and so you play it out. Then you say to me, all right, well, what if the doctor had not been in my life? Would I have died? Well, this kind of question has no meaning, because you're seeing yourself in some kind of way that is not real. And what you have determined a long time in advance is a certain maximum things are going to happen in your life, and given certain understandings, you are going to respond to them in one way or another. If you are still of the belief that the surgeon is saving your life, then the surgeon will indeed save your life. If you, however, are not of that belief, then you will see something quite different happening. The surgeon may even be in your life. Just as the divorce is possible under maximum circumstances, the surgery is possible under maximum circumstances. And you can see that what is happening is that there's an interchange of awareness taking place there. You have agreed to this drama and the dance goes on. So when you see it from one point of view, I say to you, yes, the doctor has extended your life. Without him, you would have died. That is nonsense, unless it is so written. But you see, you can't change levels and expect to keep the same truth going. You see, it's a matter of level change. And so if you believe that you have only so long to live, and you do not believe in medical help, then you will have programmed a life that you do not need medical help in order to live that long. If, however, you believe in medical help, then you will have programmed a life that is necessary to come in and help you at a certain level in order to prolong your life to the time necessary. What have you programmed? If you want to put it another way, what kind of play have you written? Have you written one filled with medical help? Many people have. Others haven't. Do you realize there's some people that never go to a doctor, never need to? They live to be 115 and they have never seen a doctor? Because they have programmed and written a script that it is not necessary. Other people have written scripts that they see doctors every week because that is necessary. It is what they have written and it is as they read it. And so they go through their daily round. I hope I've made that clear. If not, I would ask the doctor to further questions. It is simply, what level are you looking at? Where are you glued into the script? And what have you written for yourself? I believe that in the past we have spoken a lot about level shifts on a private, in a private way, and have not really put it onto a tape. And I know it must be extremely difficult for people. But again, I say, whatever you are concerned with, if you are concerned with words and how important words are, and the falsity or the rightness of words, then you will be trapped, and your intellect will always find something and anything to latch upon. And to chew over and to say, I do not understand, this must be false, and so on and so forth. The fact is, levels are very, very easy to shift one from the other. You do it all the time in your own life. And as this is very true in your life, it is also true in working with me. So there are level shifts constantly there. It depends on who is in the room oftentimes as to what level we will go on. It depends on who needs to hear what in the room from where we will go and answer that particular strand of necessity, and we move on to something else. If people are listening to these tapes with their intellect, then not much is being accomplished. If, on the other hand, they see something, they hear something that seems to be a paradox, and instead of using this as a problem, if they would simply take it in and say, is this an example of shifting of awareness? What are the possibles? You know, my friend, there's not just one possible on the earth plane. Don't you see? There are infinite possibles. Infinite interpretations. Every mind takes in data and interprets it in a different way. How hopeless to be able to say anything that is going to be really understood by everyone who hears it. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. There's nothing else to be said. On what level are you going to use your awareness? If you use your awareness with an open mind and an open heart in listening to any teaching that comes from anybody who knows more than you, you're going to learn something. If, on the other hand, you are listening to something by somebody that knows more than you and you're going into it with a closed mind, a mind that already knows, a mind that is defensive, then you're going to learn nothing. You're simply going to use your intellect. And so is it with the taste, and so it is with this constant shifting of levels. It must be so, otherwise we're only going to continue to help the same group of people over and over and over. This isn't really how it should be. The maximum is necessary. And, you know, some people think that they know a great deal, and maybe they do on certain subjects, but then they have other areas that they know very little about. And therefore, I would suggest that anyone listening always keep their mind and their heart open, because you never know when you're going to hit an area that you know very little about. And if you can just keep yourself in an open state, perhaps even that that you do know can be taken up to a higher level of understanding, if you will allow the play of the energy to move upon you and not allow the words to be that which traps you. Because after all, I have said before and I say again, it is the energy moving in the tape that is of importance. The words are not. You know, where is the change taking place? I can say words to you and they will make no change in your life. The only things that I can say that will change your life is those tools that I give you to transform your mind. When you use those tools and you become effective users of those tools, then you are moving into vaster states of awareness. Before that, you're just listening to words, and words have no power to change. There may be little ringings of slight bells off in the distance that may give you a little bit of a guide as to which way you should move. That might be possible. But it's not very likely that anything is going to be changed from words.
I noticed many years ago that the concept of contradiction that we have in the West, that was first stated by Aristotle, that statements cannot be both true and false, is to some extent a cultural prejudice, in that there are philosophical traditions in the East that would insist that statements are always true and false.
That's exactly right, because because in truth, neither, you know, a statement, even if it in some way mirrors a divine awareness, even that is not really the truth. You see, it's just the shadow of the thing. It is simply the shadow of the thing. It isn't the thing itself. This is something that the mind simply will not agree with. You know, they keep saying, I want truth, and that means that I'm going to hear truth. And you know, you're not going to hear truth. Truth is something you experience. Truth is an experience. It is an awakening. It is a quickening and a transformation. It has nothing to do with thought and words. And this is something that the Westerner has a very hard time getting hold of, especially an intellectual Westerner who judges everything by the power of the word. This is where I think the Maharshi spoke when he said that he was very pleased that he had not been a great intellect and had not been greatly educated. It had saved him from a great deal. And this is simply another way of saying the same thing. That if you are going to listen to words and judge the words and weigh them, instead of taking the, for example, if you listen to two tapes and one tape says one thing and another tape says another, you have a variety of responses. You can say, ah, I have finally found out Bartholomew is a sham. Fine, let me be a sham. I am not concerned with whether I am a sham or whether I am not. What I am really concerned with is at that moment, when you have confronted a difficulty, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to then attack and use this as a verbal battle, or are you going to go within your being and say, all right, if Bartholomew is a sham, then let me find something that is not. And then, fine, if I have been in any way helpful to take you to some kind of a technique, some kind of a method, some kind of a awareness that is going to transform your life, then I would gladly lay down myself as a sham a million times a day. If, as a response to that, you have moved yourself into awareness. I don't care about what anyone says as long as I see that it's moving them into awareness. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
You do not have to accept me in order to have me be beneficial in your life. You could fight against me and have that be beneficial in your life. You can accept me and have me totally unaccepting and totally unhelpful to you. There is not only one way to use anyone's wisdom in your life. Never. Those who fight against God are probably closer to God than those who, in some kind of an inane, watered-down, namby-pamby way, accept God and say, oh, it all comes from God, and God is good, and God is great, and God loves me, all the time being totally unaware of any of that reality at all. At least he who is fighting, who is in a life-grasping fight with the divine power, is closer to it, because that which you are fighting is closer to you than that which you have somehow sponsors you've accepted and have had nothing to do with it all. No contact at all. You see, I don't care how one uses what they hear, whether it's my words, the words of the Christ, the words of the Buddha, the words of anybody. What do you do with those responses? That is what matters. If you simply use them as a way to validate your own limited perception, then nothing has been helpful. If people listen to my tapes and agree and agree and agree on a level of agreement and do nothing to transform their own consciousness, then I have not helped them at all. Far better that they had heard something that they did not agree with and have used it as a rallying point for their own power and their own awareness and pushed through to some greater degree of understanding. That is what I want, is changes, and I will do anything I can to bring those about. Truth cannot be spoken. If you are looking on the tape for some kind of a truth, then you are mistaken. There's nothing more than a pudgy little finger pointing to the vast, infinite space. If you're looking at the finger, you're not going to see the space. And the tapes are simply pudgy little fingers pointing. That's all they are. They have no importance in themselves at all. It is simply, what do you use them for? That is all. So, let us deal. Are there more?
Yes. It would seem that there is some perception on your side of the light similar to our perception of time-space. You spoke of the Christos moving in the past 2,000 years to tremendous heights of love, wisdom, which would imply change, growth, and time.
What it really implies, and again here we have difficulty in words, what it really implies is extension. I've spoken before about extension. And you could say that from your using the words of the earth plane, that the Christos is moved into extension. He extends. That area extends. It simply means that there's all of the vastness and you extend through it. And as you extend through it, you see this as some kind of motion, some kind of movement. I can only say when you arrive at the place where you are aware of extension, then you will know what I'm talking about. Until that time, it's very difficult because you think in terms of movement, time, and so forth. This is not the reality. But for lack of a better word, I will only say extension. That is all I can really say. I say it's inadequate. It is inadequate. You see any kind of movement as incorporating time and space. That is not the only way to perceive it. Until you perceive differently, I can only tell you that it is not as you perceive it. There is another way of perceiving and extending that is not available at this moment to you because you are not consciously seeking it. And when the veil drops and when you see clearly, then you will know what I mean. And you will know what I mean by no time and no space. But until that time, it's just words. We will just be exchanging words.
So the experience of reality from your point of view is ineffable, since our language, you know, was not designed by people who were perceiving that level of reality.
You conceive the words to fit your reality. When you move out of your reality, the words do not fit. And this is the constant struggle of anyone who tries to come in any way to the earth plane and do any kind of teaching at all. Because the first thing we run into is this terrible difficulty with words and their meaning, and everyone sees and hears something different. It's very, very difficult. That's why I say just pudgy little finger pointing. That's all it is. That is all it is. There is no way to talk about these things. We can only try. I feel that the rest of the questions that are on that sheet, many of them I will deal with the doctors, and when I see them, I feel some of them will private, and others of them would take a little longer to answer, and we would most definitely bring them up at another time. Vincent is off there. In closing, I simply would like to say once again what I hope I have made clear. Nothing I say, please, nothing I say must be accepted without the experiential data necessary. So much of what I say is totally unimportant. So many of the questions are unimportant. The quest for freedom is the only question that I really feel of any value. That is the thing that will either free you or not free you. If questions are asked, they are infinite in number and shade. And we could go on and on and on asking questions. The sign of the real seeker is when the exterior questions have dropped away. And the only thing that remains is the burning question of, who am I? What is really at work here within one's own being? What is the inner reality of my being? That is when you know you have begun to touch upon the real question. And many of those questions simply must fall away. There will be a time when I will not answer any questions anymore, because I will have felt that most of them have been answered in one form or another. Because there is really no need to continue to discuss over and over again things which will not really help to transform anyone. These are only intellectual questions, many of them. And the only question that really any of you need to ask yourself, my friend, is, what am I doing to clarify who I am? And holding on to that, shunning all other desires to raise oneself in questioning, to only scintillate the activities of the mind. And the last, the only help that I will ever be to you, is to keep you to the core of your purpose. That is the only service I can perform. It is very limited indeed. And all I can do is be there to continually say to you, are you holding to the center of your quest? Or are you letting your mind wander through vagaries, unimportant details? What is the importance of your moment? That is really the only gift I can give you, is to keep pulling you back to center. If you want to talk about any teacher, all they can do is say, please come back to center, to what is really important, and keep about your business. That is really the only gift that they can give you. And the example that they themselves have done it, or that they themselves highly recommend that you do it, because it gives you something infinitely greater than that which you are experiencing with your mind. You see, some are caught on the level of body desires, and some are caught on the level of mental desires. Some find the body a great playground. Others find the mind a great playground. Both are difficult to overcome. The mind perhaps more, because it's more subtle. The mind can trap you much more easily. Therefore, the only thing a real friend can do, which is all a teacher really is to keep you back to center. What are you really doing? How much are you really learning? How much are you dropping? And how are you spent? Have you found your tool that will cut through the clouds and free you to the light? Or have you not? If you haven't, then get about it. That's really all it ends up being. All the rest is talk, words, vapors, rising, being of nothing.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Bartholomew.